As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently, with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 28 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer as well as Colby and predictive index specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, and complete system for operating your company. Last week, I spent this time with Mark Abbott, General Manager at VTH Partners and Visionary Attraction.io. In that episode, Mark and I spoke about what he has observed across over 100 entrepreneurial companies he'd invested in, about how they operate, about why an operating system can truly propel such companies to their next level, and what really makes an intelligent business today as we move towards the third decade of the 21st century. If you missed that episode, you can listen to it on demand here at the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes and Stitcher. And now, let me introduce my great guest today, Jon von Tetzner. Jon, you co-founded Opera Software in 1995, it's been a while, and led it as its CEO from 1995 to 2010. During that time, Opera became the world leader in mobile and device browsers and a browser leader in other geographies around the world. And Opera was widely recognized for its technological innovations. In 2013, you co-founded Vivaldi Technologies and launched the Vivaldi web browser in 2016. With already a solid following, it is feature-rich and places the user in control. So you are a firm promoter of the open web, open web standards, and universal access. You are a member of the Forum for Young Global Leaders in 2005 and were nominated as Business Week's Star of Europe in 2004. In 2009, Informa named you a top 40 leader shaping the mobile communications industry, and GigaOm named you one of the top 15 mobile influencers. Then in 2011, you are awarded the honorary Rosing Prize. Boy, then the list goes on and on. So you proclaim yourself, Jon, as a geek with a big interest in gadget and high-tech devices, and you often say that when traveling, and you travel quite a bit, and we'll find out very shortly why, you prefer a visit to the local electronics stores rather than a popular tourist spot. So welcome to Operationally Speaking.
Thank you, Sergio.
So let me start as a context. When did you and I first connect, Jon?
I mean, that's many years ago. That's a lot of years ago. I mean, this is in the early days of Opera. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it 96,
it must have been
97, thereabouts?
It was in the kind of mid to late 90s.
Yes.
Absolutely. And at the time you were, Opera was already a fairly established company, and I was a co-founder of a company at that time, and we came to Oslo to visit you, and with the intention and ultimately the result of licensing Opera for some of our users. Let me also start. You know, business conversations sometimes get a little bit serious. So do you have like a favorite business anecdote that you can share with our listeners?
I mean, there's a lot of stories, and some of these stories are, I don't know, I mean, some of these stories are told better by other people, I have to admit. There is one story that my friend Rolf likes to tell, which I think is actually a pretty good one. It goes into somewhat of the heart of what we were doing at Opera at the time. This is about the same time that we were meeting a little bit later, 97, 98. And there was a company in the US that was interested in our company. And they wanted us to fly over and have meetings with them, and we didn't have the time to do that. This is just before Christmas. We had plenty of things to do, and the tickets were expensive, and we were a startup. So they said, "Okay, if you can't come over now, we'll actually fly over to you." So they flew over and landed at the airport. In Oslo. Well, actually, we went to get them at the airport, and I was driving one of these tiny little European cars with very little space. And I mean, it's a car I got from my father, so it was like $3,000 car. And I was fetching these guys with their suits and the like at the airport, and they weren't there because they were at another airport. They had actually flown with a private jet over to Iceland. To Norway, sorry, to meet with us and wanted to buy the company. And we said no. Now, at the time, my co-founder, I believe at the time, had actually already been diagnosed with cancer. So saying no to a significant offer of money was not an easy thing to do, but we did because we believed we could actually build something, and we didn't really want to be part of that big international company. So it's a decision that was an important decision in our history and was maybe one of those defining moments.
Interesting. So speaking about defining moments in general in life, one of the things that I love always to find out about whoever I talk to, and especially the guest of this show, is whether there was some event or maybe force or maybe even a person in the early stages of your life, Jon, that had the strongest influence of who you've become today.
Well, I lived with my grandparents as a kid, and that made a big impression on me, obviously. I also lived with my father for a while. And in some ways, a number of the decisions that I made have been related to living with my father and learning from him. He's a professor in psychology specializing on children with disabilities. And for me, it was a question of learning that we're all different. We have different requirements. And for some of us, it's actually a question of being able to use tools or not. And so adapting to the requirements of people became an extremely important thing from the very beginning, and obviously had a significant impact on how we did Opera from the very beginning with regards to adapting to the requirements of users and listening to their requirements. And I think that did have an impact. But otherwise, I mean, kind of what I was used to from my grandparents was having a big family, having a lot of guests, and trying to treat your guests gracefully.
We were talking about Oslo before, but where exactly did you actually grow up, Jon?
So I'm born in Iceland, in Reykjavik, or in the Reykjavik area. I lived in Reykjavik for the first 20 years before then moving to Norway to study at the University of Oslo.
Right. So you so the story that you're talking about, your father, that's actually back in Iceland, right?
He was in Norway, but I started going to my father every summer from the age of 10. So I was with him every summer, and I would part of what I would gradually do is to be working with actually software for, specialized software for people with disabilities and the like. So I was doing specialized software from a fairly early stage.
Right.
So thinking about how do you handle with input when you have one or two buttons, and that's the only thing you can do. So it makes you think in a different way, that's for sure.
So today, we're talking about Vivaldi Technologies, the company. So tell us a little bit about Vivaldi in like a minute or two, what its purpose is, what it's best at, and where do you see the company? And I'm not talking about the browser yet, but where do you see the company in, say, the 3 years or so?
Well, it's a question of, I mean, we always, and for me, it's always been a question of making a difference. And so we are building a browser. The idea is that we want to build a company that provides for the end users, provides a fantastic piece of software, but we are also focusing on the community around building community software, providing email, providing a blog platform and the like, in addition to the browser itself. So it's really, it's about working extremely closely with our end users, listening to their feedback and providing a fantastic piece of software, especially for them.
So, and with respect to Vivaldi, the company, what kind of people work for Vivaldi?
I mean, it's an interesting group. A number of the people clearly are people that I've worked with before at Opera. So a lot of technical people, but it's a mix as well, because we need to do the programming, but we also need a fairly large organization to take care of everyone. We take that really seriously. So we have an oversized HR department, which is focusing on the well-being of the employees and then also working with our outside community. And then we have a group of people communicating with the community. So and some PR people and the like. We're not really big on sales, because most of the focus is really just providing fantastic products and engaging with the community. The business model is part of this, but it's not a big, it's not requiring a lot of resources, let's put it that way.
And of course, we will be talking about these two communities, the inside and the outside communities, in just a few minutes. Now, obviously, you're competing with big companies like Google, Microsoft, Apple. You know, everybody uses browsers, whether that's on their computers or their phones or their, you know, tablets or iPads or whatever. So how is it, in just briefly, how is it to compete against, head on against those giants?
In some ways, it's the world that I know. I mean, I've been doing browsers since basically 1994, and the competitors have always been large companies. And I mean, it's difficult from the perspective that it's large company with a lot of power and not always playing fair. I mean, that's just you get used to that they don't really play by the rules always. But on the other hand, there's something to be building, to be the small guy, focusing on the end user, having a different view and standing up for something that matters. And I think that's really important. I mean, the web is a fantastic place. There's a lot of important things that are happening on the web. And having a role where you're impacting where the world is going with regards to web technology and the internet is really important. And that's something we take really seriously, and being on your side.
So, we title our conversation "The Communities of Business," or to use a longer title, "Building a Company and a Community at the Same Time." So we're going to take us a break right now. And when we come back, we'll start talking about the first part of that is building the inside community inside Vivaldi Technologies. So we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Sergiu Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable, so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergiu at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com, or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host. And I'm sitting here with Jon von Tetzkner, co-founder and CEO of Vivaldi Technologies. So, Jon, we talked right before the break about the fact that we are focusing in this conversation about the communities that you are building. And, of course, the first community is the community inside Vivaldi Technologies. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about this community. Where is the company located, and what does it look like in a physical setting?
Yeah, so we're a bit distributed. We have the biggest group of people is actually in Norway. We then have a group in Iceland. We are a few here in Magnolia, in Gloucester, Massachusetts. We have a guy in California, and we have a few people in other locations, one in Prague, one in Finland, and one in Russia. So we're a distributed company. Actually, we are just adding a guy in the UK as well. So we are.
You didn't have enough countries, right?
Yeah. And then we have also people helping us in other locations, like in Japan and the likes. I mean, it's a special company from that perspective. And obviously, there's an extra complication with having people working for you in different locations on different time zones and the like.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you are big on actually really fostering a culture of community within the company itself. You did that at Opera, and then you're doing that at Vivaldi. So how do you make this distributed company function as one business community? In other words, how do you communicate on a daily basis? And perhaps you can give us a few tips of what kind of practices and technologies you found to be particularly useful to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, on a daily basis, we're communicating through the normal channels. I mean, we're using Skype, we're using Slack, we're using tools like Jira on the technical side, which help us to deal with issues that we're working on and the like. But it is really difficult because you'll have a situation where a person is basically going to bed by the time that someone is getting up in another place. And so you have to use those channels to communicate as well as you like. Now, in the different offices, we're working on getting a great working environment. I was really lucky to be able to get Anne Stownes, that used to be our head of HR office and culture, as we called it at Opera, to join me at Vivaldi. And she's been building a similar organization in Vivaldi. If anything, taking it even further than we did at Opera. I mean, at Opera, we were a listed company and we were gradually growing to a size of 750 during my time. So it was, it gets harder and harder once the companies grow, but we were still managing to keep kind of this feel of a startup, even with a company in 15 offices in 12 countries. Now it's less so. I mean, we have three main offices, but we have like 7-8 different locations where people are working. And a lot of it is basically communicating through the online channels. But we really need more, and that's why we do have gatherings, which are an important part of kind of building the company we're building.
So we'll talk about gatherings in just a bit. Any particular practices that your head of HR/culture has instituted to make sure that this actually goes smoother than would normally be necessary in a one location company?
Well, we're doing, even in the locations, we're doing little things that actually matter. I mean, in the three locations that we are
organizing.
Organizing, and that's not always the norm for smaller corporations. We're making our own food, things like that, actually. So we're having decent food in the different locations. In the Oslo office, we put in a place where you could bring your kids if needed. So it's the typical situation where the kindergarten is closed or school is closed and you have your kids for a day, or maybe they have to stay home because they're a little bit ill, and then you can actually bring them to the office. And that's something that's really popular with our employees, because a number of them are in the age where they actually have a kid or two. So for those of us that live in the US, I mean, understanding how things are different in Scandinavia in general, where there's a lot more thinking about taking care of people if they have children and the like. I mean, fairly long time off, typically a year, and also a few months for the man as well. So there are things like this that it's actually trying to take good care of your employees and for all kinds of situations is an important thing. And I think it's something that we focus on quite a lot, is just to make it feel like more like a family than a workplace at times. And obviously, I mean, everyone is working really hard, but still feeling that they're part of a family. And that's part of what we see as being extremely important for our company. And obviously, with the ones that are sitting at home alone, it's even more important that you have the communications, that you talk to them and communicate and make sure that they're in the loop.
So like any other technology company, I'm sure that there are people within Vivaldi work in teams that are focused on, say, a project or two. So how do teams, first of all, are teams for specific projects co-located, or do they tend to cross all these geographic boundaries?
They'll cross the boundaries as necessary. Yep. So people will be in different locations and they'll work together in different locations.
Mm-hmm. So how do teams communicate? In other words, how do they actually build like full alignment around the goal of their project, and how do you actually deal with the issues of accountability, of making sure that everybody does whatever they say they're going to do, or what's expected, what the other team members expect them to do?
I mean, what I'm finding is that when you don't necessarily tell people everything that they have to do, they think for themselves. Mm-hmm. And with the teams that we have, there's a lot of people that are strong characters, and they make this. Everyone is basically, they know where we are going. They know what we are building. And everyone takes on their task and fulfills it, and basically, in many ways, plans their own time to get the work done in the best possible way. Now, when it comes to the communication, we do have these. I mean, we are using things like Skype and the like, so we'll do the communication through there. A lot of the communication is also just happening on tools like Slack, where we are communicating quite heavily. And obviously, that's communication that anyone can go in and read. So we're kind of seeing all that communication ongoing in the different Slack channels and the like. So it's a way that is working really well for us, even though we are distributed. But again, an important factor in all of this is that everyone kind of understands that things need to be done. And part of the nice thing is a lot of us have been doing this for years and years and years. So it's like you don't need to tell someone what to do because they already know it.
So do you think, I assume that there are some people within the organization whose main job is to do management. Are they?
We're very light on management, to be frank.
Okay.
Yes, we do have people that are kind of doing management, but not very many people that are doing only management. I think hardly anyone.
All right. So it's kind of a fairly flat organization. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's a very flat organization.
Right. So on the management side, in other words, for people who do at least partly spend part of their time doing management, any particular techniques that you've found that they that are particularly effective in this kind of distributed context from a managerial perspective?
I think the important factor is, I mean, you're using the channels that you have and communicate, but then in a way, it's always a question of taking up the phone and or should we say, using Skype or the like and talking in person. What obviously you find when you're using mail and you're using these different channels, it's easy to have misunderstandings and then it's good to always pick up the phone and talk in person. Obviously, ideally speaking, you do that actually on the spot in person, but that's not always possible. So then you use the channels that are available to you.
So you were speaking earlier about gatherings, physical gatherings. So tell us a little bit about that. Where do you gather? How often? Why do you gather physically? And what is it that you do during those gatherings?
Well, the important thing is that given that people are in different locations, they need to get to know each other in a different way. And we take that quite far. So what we do, we have gatherings. We have gatherings in Iceland, Norway, and in the U.S. And we do that sometimes for a week, sometimes for 2 weeks, and sometimes for as much as 4 weeks. When we're having the longer gatherings, like we tend to meet in June every year here in the U.S., a number of the employees actually bring their families, and that makes a longer tour like this work a lot better because it means it gets more relaxed. You work during the day and then you bring out the barbecue in the afternoon or go biking or swimming or something, and you do things together in a different setting and you get to know your coworkers in a totally different way, and it makes all the communication work a lot better at later times.
That's actually wonderful. So is there a pre-existing agenda for these gatherings, or how do you actually structure it so that they become actually really effective?
Well, typically what we'll try to do, we have certain sessions where we might have, say, brainstorming sessions, or we'll have all those sessions, but a lot of it is just working in the daily, right? So it isn't necessarily that we are doing a lot of things that are different, but we are engaging a lot more, we are talking a lot more, and we are socializing a lot more. And the socializing is really important also to kind of get under everyone else's skin and kind of get everyone to kind of learn how everyone else is thinking, and sometimes if there are issues, if people are quarreling a little bit, once you get and you sit down over the table, maybe over a glass of wine or beer, and you talk things through, and suddenly everything is solvable, and you get to be friends, which is extremely important.
Ah, that sounds wonderful. So we're about to take another break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about the other community that you are building simultaneously, which is the outside community. So we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Jon von Tetzkner, co-founder and CEO of Vivaldi Technologies. So before the break, Jon, we were talking about your internal community inside Vivaldi Technologies, your company. So let's actually now switch to talking about this other community, which is very, very specific to your company, and it's kind of unusual, the external community. So tell us a little bit about how you built this community or these communities outside, and who are these people, and what are why are they belonging to this community of yours?
So basically what happened is that we were finding that people really like what we are doing. And they started just to, give us feedback and asking, okay, how can we help you? Some of them started to build local sites and services because in their local language. So it's just a lot of people that really like what we are doing and want to support us. And obviously, we are very thankful for that. And so we started to engage with them a lot more. I think from the very beginning, we've always been a personal company. So we're answering emails or communicating with our users on the community. We're doing this in our own names. And it's a very personal approach. And we are finding that people were wanting to spend a lot of time with us, and we started to discuss with those people, and they ended up, we ended up having a group of people that helping us test internal versions of the browser, for example, the Sopranos, that are giving us a lot of help, really talented people that have a lot of knowledge and are giving their feedback on what they think we can do better. And it's fantastic. It's extremely helpful. We also have people helping us translate. We are working on 70 different languages, which is part of our efforts to actually support as many languages as possible. But people contact with us and they say, hey, couldn't we make the browser available in my local language? And I'm willing to help. Can I help do that? And then we work with them, and this allows us to support maybe smaller languages that are not normally supported by our competitors that are kind of have a different calculation on this.
So how many people are we talking about now that belong to these external communities?
So the different levels of this, The internal tester group is between a 50 and 100 somewhere. We have hundreds of people that are helping us translate. Mm-hmm. And then when we have our community, which is, I guess, closing in on 200,000 registered members. And so whenever we are communicating something about new versions and the like, I mean, there are people that are telling us what they like and don't like there. And I mean, all these groups are important to us. I mean, we communicate quite a lot with these groups of a few hundred, the internal kind of the testers that have access to our daily builds and to the translators. But we're also spending a lot of time with the community. We provide a community site where people can also have their blogs, and we provide free email without ads. And this is a place where we get feedback from our users on our products, and we communicate with on a daily basis.
So if somebody wants to join one of those communities, what should they do?
Well, I mean, the easiest part is just to go to vivaldi.net and sign up on the community and get an account there, which you'll also need for other services like synchronization and the like, which we are working on getting into the browser. So that's an easy way. If you want to be part of the other groups, that requires a bit more. It's not everyone is invited to be part of that. I mean, the translation part, if you're wanting to support a language, that's relatively easy. But to be part of this internal group, it's only a few that get invited. And that's typically people that have shown a lot of interest and spent a lot of time supporting us in general. And then they're kind of, okay, do you want to take the full step and be part of this group?
So, and what are the mechanisms that you use, Jona, I mean, not you personally, but you at Vivaldi, to actually communicate to all these people who are literally all over the world? And I'm talking now about the inner two circles that you mentioned, the testers and the translators. Are there specific ways in which you communicate specifically with these people? How do you do it?
Well, we communicate through email, we communicate through Slack, we communicate through the forums. So we have a number of different ways to communicate with them, and it's quite active. I mean, it's people that you get to know quite well because you communicate with them a lot of times. So it's I mean, it becomes, if we talk about kind of the employees of the company being family, this is our extended family. All those that are spending so much time helping us, and actually we do extend it to our user base as well. But obviously, there's kind of like you have brothers and sisters, and then you can expand from there.
All right. So, so are there specific people within Vivaldi, the company itself, you know, the internal people who are basically whose job in part includes communicating to the outside world, or anybody or everybody does that?
So we have a few people whose main task is to communicate with the outside world. We have, for example, our friend Ilya in Russia. He works a lot with the translators. We have people in Oslo that are working with the communication in general to the community. But everyone communicates. So I know for us, I mean, the programmers love going into one of the discussion threads or where there's a blog on our latest release or something, and a user is saying, couldn't you do like this? And they just say, okay, I hear you. I like what you're proposing. And in the next version, we've done just what you asked for.
So if somebody were to be running, let's say, a technology company or actually any product company right now, and would love to create, to start building an outside community for the same kind of general purposes that you did, Jon, at Vivaldi, like, for example, to get feedback, to maybe test some new aspects of their products or services, even translation or whatever else the population at large could contribute. What would be your advice on how should they go about that? Where should they start?
Well, I think, I mean, obviously, the first thing is to have the decision that you're building a product for your users, and you're just saying, okay, I want to build something that people really like, and I want to listen to their feedback. So already doing that is a different thing. I mean, most of our competitors, they actually analyze how the users are using the software by collecting data on the usage. We, on the other hand, we listen to the users and we take their feedback and we build what they want us to build. So that's kind of the first step, is to say, okay, I want to build a piece of software or any kind of tool which has direct interaction and feedback from the users, which means that there needs to be a lot of flexibility and adaptation to the requirements of the end user. And just the basic principle of the customer is always right, but you have a lot of customers, so you have to have ways to customize to their needs. And then in a way, if you really want to communicate with them this way, I don't think you really get away from having a community site or of some kind. I mean, at least a forum, mm-hmm. a discussion forum. We set up where people can discuss kind of aspects of your product. Now, you're opening up to criticism and the like, and I think a lot of companies are kind of concerned about making that kind of move. But I really think what you want to do is to have that communication and get the feedback and improve your products until your customers are really happy, instead of trying to stick your hand in the ground or something and hope that no one knows that your customers are unhappy. Rather deal with it, kind of, and this is a very straightforward way to do that. You have your forums and your discussions, and I think it's a lot better than using Facebook and Twitter. I mean, we do those as well, but these are communities with a different level of communication, and mm-hmm. and I think that part of the nice thing with doing the forums is that people may look up issues that they may have. They may find the other people discussing it. And we're also finding that our volunteers and the like, I mean, they're answering a lot of the questions from our end users. So they know the answers to the questions. And so our user base, both for internal volunteers and others, they're going out there and speak on our behalf.
So, you know, there's a lot of value, I'm sure, that Vivaldi, the company, Vivaldi Technologies, gets from these from these communities outside. But can you share with us maybe a couple of the challenges that you faced and you had to deal with to make this work?
Well, I think, there's always a discussion. I think internally there can be a discussion on what kind of products you want to build. But in a way, we were lucky in that way that we are generally all agreeing what we are doing and that we want to focus on building great products for our users. And there's, I mean, when you're communicating with a very enthusiastic crowd, emotions can come in play, and that can sometimes be a problem. But in general, everyone is on the same side. Everyone wants to do the best for the community. And so in general, any such issues get resolved. That's my experience. If there's a little bit of a blow up every now and then, but in general, I think it's better to deal with the problems instead of not.
So how do you actually specifically deal with people in the outside communities that tend to not be really maybe even disrespectful of the community itself or causing some of these blowups? Any particular quick tip?
Well, generally, I mean, you try to communicate with people. And in most cases, that's how you fix it. You talk to a person. I mean, you communicate with them and you get them to understand if they were using a language that was upsetting some of all the members of the community, to stop doing that. And generally, it works out fairly quickly. Now, obviously, if it happens to be more of a troll that is just there to make trouble, I mean, worst case, you have to exclude that person from the channels. I mean, you don't want to do that, and it's something that happens really seldom. But clearly, if there's a person that's just in your community to actually create problems and is bothering other users or spamming or the like, I mean, you have to deal with that.
Wonderful, Jan. So we'll take another couple of minutes of a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our conversation. So don't go away.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain, so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Jon von Tetzschner, co-founder and CEO of Vivaldi Technologies. So before we go any further, I have a kind of an interesting question for you, Jon. So if anyone made a movie about your life, what would that movie be called?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I have a really good answer. It could be called something like geek or stubborn or or making a difference. I don't know. I think those words just might define what I want to stand for, at least.
All right, that's actually probably pretty good. I don't know. It depends on when it comes to stubborn. It depends on how people will take that word. To me, sometimes it's actually very positive. For some people, maybe a little bit negative. But I know what you mean. You basically carved your way or a niche in that industry of giants, and you stuck with it first at the opera and now at Vivaldi, and that's actually quite remarkable. And I have a great deal of admiration for you that way. Speaking about Vivaldi, the browser now, is there one thing about this browser that you would want the world to know about?
The main thing here is we're building a browser for you. And what that means is that you tends to be a person that spends a fair amount of time online, and someone that really wants to use the internet as a tool. And we are focusing on basically having things like being able to have a lot of tabs open, deal with the complexities of the internet to help you find your way back to information. We have a great bookmarking system. We have a great history presentation. There's just a lot of functionality, but a lot of it is really, if you sit down with this browser and you give it time, you'll find that it will help you do what you want to do on the internet. And in addition to that, there's then the focus on the privacy side. And a lot of that is about, we're not engaging in this buying, and I wish that there would be a change where more companies and should we say government also would change the rules and regulations, so there would be less spying on users. I think that's something that's happening too much, and we'd like to see a change. But a lot of what we do, we are on your side. We are building a browser for our friends. I mean, that's kind of our motto. And you don't spy on your friends, and you listen to your friends, and you give your friends what they want.
So I know that you are very passionate about privacy issues on the internet. Can you spend maybe a minute or two, give us sort of like, where are we in this day and age? And I know this is not about the business itself or the topic, the main topic, but since it's such an important and visible topic for everybody, just spend a minute or two and tell us, where do you think we are and where we are heading really quickly?
Well, I think there's far too much information being collected. There's no question about that. I mean, if you look at it, people, you're being followed all the time. I mean, if you have a mobile browser, or should we say, if you have a mobile phone, the location of your, and your whereabouts are known everywhere where you go, and any service you visit is being that information is collected. And I think it's really unfortunate. We are now getting fantastic new technologies. We can help translate what you're saying and listen to your commands and the like. It's really important that that information is also not misused. If you're thinking about their microphones on all the time, their eyes on all the time, it's getting pretty close to 1984, and in many ways has gone a lot further than that. And I think this is a case where we actually need regulation, we need rules, because what we find is that some companies just can't deal with the temptation when they have access to so much data.
And what kind of regulations would you invite?
I would say that you shouldn't be collecting information on people that is not required to perform an action. So, for example, with regards to location, location information services are fantastic. They help you find your way to a place. They find you, help you find restaurants around where you are and the like. That's all really useful. But for that, the service only needs to know your location when you're asking for location information. It doesn't need to track you all the time. So collecting that information, it's unnecessary. Similarly, it's unnecessary to be collecting all the information about where you are. And I think part of that also is kind of the sites that you're visiting, what you're watching, what you're doing. I don't think that should be collected. And in particularly, it should not be sold. And what we are seeing is that we are providing targeting, which is in some ways nice for advertisers, that you're targeting people and individuals. But I think we are already seeing that being misused in really bad ways. So this level of collection of data and this level of targeting should be stopped.
So going back to Vivaldi, I've heard you speak about the Vivaldi innovation houses. What are those?
Well, I mean, the Innovation House is actually, it's basically my way of trying to support startups. So we have an Innovation House in Iceland, and it's a location for startups. It is something that when I was starting up, I was hoping there would be something like this, somewhere where I could go and I could be with other startups where there wasn't a program involved. So there wasn't an accelerator or something, just somewhere where I can be around people that are doing similar things to me that I can discuss with and the like. And that's what we set up in Iceland. Mm-hmm. What we've done, in addition, slightly differently, we've added a few apartments. And we've then done a similar one here in the U.S., which is actually it's a hotel or a bed and breakfast from 1880. It has 17 bedrooms. So the idea is that it's almost like a resort for the startups, mostly from coming from Iceland and Norway, that come over here, stay in this beautiful area, and think about kind of, well, anything that they'd like to think about, whether that is kind of accessing the U.S. market or just brainstorming or the like. So it's a place, it's a way for us to support startups, given that, I mean, I've done this before, and I was investing in a few startups in Iceland. After I left Opera, I did have a bit of cash that I was using to invest in startups and trying to support them in the best possible way. And I couldn't invest in all of them. I don't have time or money to do that. So this was a way to support the startups to provide these locations where they have time to think, where they can work with others, and there's no strings attached.
So in literally 30 seconds, I would like to give you an opportunity to give our listeners a gift via two quick recommendations, really quickly, a book and an app. What would you say are your favorites?
Well, I mean, that's a difficult one because there's a lot of good books out there. I mean, if you want to read something special, read Hávamál, which is an Icelandic, very, very old story, which the recommendation of a father to a son. It's an interesting read when you're talking about a book that's about 700, 800, 900 years old.
Sure.
And an app, I'm not a big app guy. When Vivaldi is ready, download it. It will be eventually. So, but at least on the PC, you can do it on the PC, but on the mobile phone, you have to wait a little bit longer.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jon, for being my guest here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. So if you found what you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. In fact, point everybody to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at voiceamerica.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You will be surprised by what's possible. And I promise you'll never regret that call. Ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.